Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Day off for the Buffalo Bills, but no days off when you're covering the team like Matt Perino does for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Always love catching up with Matt. Talk some Buffalo Bills football. Matt, let's start with the Odell Beckham Jr. I don't even know if you can call them rumors. What's going on with all of this?
I don't think anything at this point. I think it's like, you know, Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., of course. Like, why not run it back? The blueprint worked last year. I'm sure Odell would love to go to Buffalo and play alongside Stephon Diggs. He saw what Cooper Kupp did for him last year, and they went out and got Allen Robinson, so probably not going to work the same way in L.A. But the thing about it is like, and I was talking about this with Ryan yesterday on our show, is like, I think we're a little far off from when Beckham actually does sign with a team. Like, I think he's working his way back. The rehab process is going to take a while. I don't think he's going to be the same player for a while, maybe even all of this season. So that's part of something that the Bills will have to consider. I think there was a report from Rappaport on one of the shows that said the Bills are always in the mix now with players like this. So I'm sure there will be conversations, but I don't think we're at a place now with this thing getting ramped up and Beckham Jr. being probably still a couple months away from being able to like start practicing and stuff like that to where I think he'd probably be in the mix. It's something that makes a lot more sense to me maybe in December. Kind of add that, if the offense, you know, needs a jolt, maybe the slot needs somebody to come in and take over that role. Maybe McKenzie isn't everything that they thought he would be in a larger role, and Crowder maybe isn't able to stay healthy. It makes more sense in that case for me.
Well, Matt, it's part of this too is like right now, and again, like you said, things can change, but in every camp everywhere except Chicago, everything is sunny and bright and optimistic. That being said, I mean, this wide receiver core right now, Matt, it doesn't appear that they need the services of an Odell Beckham Jr.
No. Well, I don't think they need it, but I'm not in the camp that says like they're all set. Like, I think if you can add a guy that just, you know, had the half of football that he had in the Super Bowl to the roster, and you can get even some type of version of him, I think you want to add good players. And so I'm not in the camp that says don't go out and try to get better. It's just about, are you getting better with Odell Beckham right now in August coming off of that injury? I think that's something that I don't think we can answer. I don't know what version of him is going to be available to a team at any point this season when he signs. But if you're talking about just adding more players to the mix, I think you always kind of think about doing that and then figuring out how it all, you know, stacks up after the fact. I think it's just, you know, Brandon Bean's always said it. If he has a chance to add a good player, he's going to think about it. And I think Beckham potentially could be a good player. But again, there's a lot of unknowns with that.
Matt, let's talk a little bit and dissect the first depth chart put out by the team in advance of Saturday's preseason opener. Couldn't help but notice your camp MVP, Christian Benford, making a little bit of a move there. Looked to see a lot of him on Saturday afternoon. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, we're going to see a lot of Christian Benford over the next few games. And, you know, the thing that has stood out the most about him is how quickly he skyrocketed up the depth chart. Like, even before this came out, like, you knew where he stood. He's just been going against the first team in practice. This whole camp. I think it was the first few days, maybe 3 days in, when I started noticing him consistently. So, yeah, Tre'Davious White's out, and it's going to give opportunities to other guys. I don't think Elam's lit the world on fire by any stretch. Dane Jackson's had his struggles. But I just think they like the way that Benford competes. And so now you fast forward to maybe getting a chance to look at him in a game situation. And, you know, the thing for me with him, too, is, like, Elam has the top-end speed. He's got the athleticism. He looks the part. Benford, to me, is, like, really, like, scrappy. And I think that that's something that Sean McDermott likes. Like, he muddies the water. He gets in your face. He gets physical. He makes everything tough. And he doesn't go away. He's kind of like, in a lot of ways, you know, from a playing perspective, the defensive version of McKenzie. Like, he's just that little, like, nuisance. McKenzie does it with his mouth. Benford does it with the way that he plays. And so I think that they like that. And I'm interested to see how much he could be a part of things. Like, I think he's got a track to the roster now, but I want to see, like, are they willing to maybe split time with Elam and Benford across from Jackson if White's not ready? Because, you know, they haven't shied away from timeshares before. Or do they want to just, you know, throw Elam in the deep end and say, you're a first-round pick, we want to see it from the very first play, you're going to have that job, and you're going to have to, you know, kind of sink or swim. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yep. So, Matt, depth chart isn't the right word, I don't think, but the Bills did put out kind of the roster, and they kind of listed players. Is there anything that you found surprising? I guess Kessenberry listed as the right tackle here ahead of Spencer Brown should not be a surprise, correct?
No. It's been all camp. Yesterday was the first day that Spencer Brown rotated in with Kessenberry on the first team. So that was a huge development. But now it's like clock's ticking. We don't have many weeks here before the start of the regular season. And Spencer Brown, who didn't participate at all in the spring and has been very, very limited here in training camp, can he do enough to win that job? I mean, Kessenberry started 17 games last year, kind of a plug-and-play guy. So I think it might be a little bit of time for Brown. I don't think they're going to want to rush him out. But again, Sean McDermott, man, is a little funky with some of the stuff that they do. You know, I always thought, like, Cody Ford, Tyne Secchi was weird. The rotating in-game with them back in Ford's rookie season, maybe they do that. Maybe they say, okay, we don't want to put too much on Brown's plate. We have him kind of get out there for, like, 35 snaps and Kessenberry for the other 35 or whatever it ends up being. The other thing that I thought was interesting was Tavon Austin is the number one punt returner listed on the depth chart, because to me, Austin's very replaceable or expendable, I should say, because I think they can get him back on their practice squad. But if he's going to be their punt returner, then they're going to have to carve out a roster spot for him. And so now you're looking at, with the five who I think are locks, and Diggs, Davis, McKenzie, Crowder, and Shakir, if Austin's now your sixth, are you going to keep seven? And then it becomes interesting, because I think a lot of people would think, all right, that's probably Jay Coomer. He plays a lot of special teams. They've liked him in different roles on offense. Isaiah Hodgins has been really good in camp. So how does that all stack up? I think they probably think they can get Hodgins back on their practice squad. But people are reading the camp reports. Maybe some teams are looking at Hodgins and saying, we really liked him in the draft a few years ago. We'll scoop him if the Bills put him out there.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there with wide receiver. And we know that Stevenson's got the foot injury that's nagging him, and it was a problem for him last year as well. I mean, he's never done it before, but you just laid out a path where Sean McDermott could actually keep seven receivers on the final 53, and you think it'd be a guy like Hodgins that could be making this team over a guy like Kumerow?
I'm not there yet, but we're creeping in that direction if the Bills are worried about losing a guy they sunk a draft pick into a couple years ago. Now, we're at the point of this build where I don't know how much Brandon Bean still values late day three picks like Hodgins was, but they developed the guy, and I do think he has a skill set that's very unique. He plays the game a little bit differently than Kumerow. I think Kumerow is feisty. I think that he's sneaky athletic, and I think that he has his own ways to win as a receiver. But I think the ceiling might be higher for Hodgins. And if the Bills are thinking about that long term, you know, still, you know, the next couple of years, the size of Hodgins, the trajectory of Gabe Davis, when they came in, some people liked Hodgins better than Davis. So it's just, it's something to think about. And you mentioned Stevenson. I mean, the injury might give the Bills some options with him, whether it be like putting him on some type of pup list or something like that. But I don't think he was making this roster even before the injury. I mean, I've been very unimpressed with Stevenson, whereas guys like, you know, Shakir and Hodgins, they've been making the most of their opportunities in camp. Stevenson just wasn't doing that.
I'm talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, as the Bills will be back on the field tomorrow, 9:45 a.m. at St. John Fisher University. Matt, when we've been talking to you over here the last few months, we've always a topic of, okay, who gets the money next? Is it going to be Jordan Poyer? Oh, my gosh, Dawson Knox, Ed Oliver. I don't think any of us had Reggie Gilliam being the next one, but I'm happy for him. I love guys and his backstory and everything. I remember reading Ryan's work on how, you know, that all came to be, him in Buffalo. I guess here's my question, how is he going to be used in this offense? Is this a clue that certainly he's a good fullback, but is this a clue, Matt, that maybe the Bills indeed will run a little bit more than they did last year?
No, I just think they like him in so many roles. And I also think he's one of the now core special teams guys that we don't talk enough about that. They reward those guys. And, you know, you take a guy like Medakevich and Tywan Jones the last couple of years, those guys were, their core, they're like 90-95% of their value is on special teams. Whereas I think Gilliam offers way more offensively. He's versatile. Like, yeah, sure, in the running game as a blocker, he can line out as a tight end. They've thrown him the ball before. And I think that's going to give, he gives them the versatility to then say, okay, we only need to keep two tight ends. We'll risk Tommy Sweeney and Quinton Morris. And then whoever, if we can get both those guys back in the practice squad, great. If not, we'll grab one of them back. And we know we have Gilliam who could do a little bit of everything. It's funny seeing them like operate out in the practice field. Like, you know, Rob Boris, you know, Gilliam was in the tight end room 2 years ago when he first came in. And it seems like he's got a really good relationship with Boris, Skipper, Matthew Smiley. I mean, he's got a little bit of, action in every room. And obviously now on specialties. But, yeah, it's a great story. I got to say, one of the biggest flubs I've had over the last couple of years doing this, I put out a 53-man roster, I want to say in May now, and I had Gilliam off it. And people were asking me, after I posted it, we did a podcast, and people were asking me, like, why'd you leave Gilliam off? And it's like, I hate to admit this, I literally just didn't write his name down at all. Like, I just didn't write his name down in any of the buckets and completely left him off the roster, which is embarrassing because I've been a huge Gilliam fan over the last couple of years in terms of what he's done, his story. So it was a typo. It was a flub. But yeah, he's a lock, and he's been a lock.
Matt, what about this scenario? And I'm only bringing this up because we haven't really said his name much through camp. Do you see a scenario where a tight end, the Bills keep Sweeney and Knox, knowing that Gilliam can play that, and it's actually O.J. Howard is somebody that's on the outside looking in when they do the final cutdown?
I mean, I'm never going to say that's impossible. You know, O.J. Howard's been a little underwhelming for sure. But the contract that he signed worth upwards of, I think it's $3.5 million, and 3.19 of that is guaranteed. So it's kind of the same thing with Crowder. It's like two things are happening right now in training camp that I think are really important for fans to grasp with the slow start for Crowder and Howard. Number one, this offense is really complicated. Case Keenum's been in the league, this is his 11th year. He's been in a lot of offenses. He had to pick up a lot of different offenses. And he said, sometimes it's just been getting back to the film room and going over everything like for the 100th time to try to figure it all out. So I think that's been really complicated and might be a reason why it's been a slow start for Howard. The injury for both Crowder and Howard. Howard's been available, but you could see the effects of all of the injuries that he's kind of had you know, kind of take some of the athleticism away from him. And so that's going to be something he's probably adjusting to, that playing in the NFL without all of those physical gifts. Now it's a little bit harder. I just think it's a little bit more of a long play. And I don't think we're really going to know what O.J. Howard's going to look like in this offense. So maybe week 8 or week 9 or week 10. And that's okay, because I think that there's other ways they can go. And as long as Dawson Knox stays healthy, you know, he played the majority of the snaps for them last year. So as long as they can get a Sweeney, a Morris, maybe, you know, carve out a roster spot for them on 53 or on the practice squad at worst case scenario, I think they'll be fine.
Was the offense always this complicated under Brian Daboll, or is this just Ken Dorsey putting his own fingerprints on this?
It was always this complicated. I remember, who was it that was talking about? Oh, Derek Anderson was talking about, like, going back to Cleveland, that Daboll's always had a really complicated offense, and it carried over, and you need really smart players to be able to pick it up quickly, execute it quickly. And it was one of the reasons why I think it took Josh Allen a little bit of time, as smart as he is, to, you know, perfect a lot of it. And I think it goes to show how impressive Stephon Diggs is as a player, that he was able to kind of pick it up so quickly. But no, this is something new. It's, at times, the install periods at different parts of the build have been, like, there's been a portion of the playbook that hasn't even been available to the offense because it is so complicated. So now they're in this, you know, I know it's Ken Dorsey's, he's new, but it, you know, they're in year 5 of this offense, and you know, it's pretty much wide open. And I think for a guy coming in for the first time, even his vets like Howard and Crowder, it's just taking a little bit more time.
Matt, let me hand it off to you so you can tell us everything that you and Ryan are working at NewYorkUpstate.com, the Shout Podcast.
Well, I'm drinking a lot of tea, trying to get my voice back. I lost it over the weekend. We provided over 8 hours of podcast on training camp alone. You can go check that out on YouTube, at wherever you get your audio podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher. And then we started a new series this week where I'm sitting down with other beat reporters for, it's called Camp Diaries. And we put out our first 2 episodes, Sal Capaccio and Elena Getzenberg. Those are available right now. That's audio only. You got to look on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple for those. They were really fun. And it's not, we're not talking about the Bills. We're just talking about what it's been like covering camp. And, you know, of course, the Bills come up, like some of the interactions and things we've seen at St. John Fisher, but it's not really more, it's more about the off the field stuff than on the field stuff.
It's funny, Danger. Like, Matt invited me to be on Camp Diaries, and he said, come on over Friday.
Camp's over Friday.
Yeah, like, I'm on to you, Matt, so.
You did pick that up?
I'm not going to be standing out there. Wait, Matt.
Hey, you saw, speaking of off the field stuff, you saw Josh Allen zipping around in that moped / scooter, whatever it is that's outfitted with a golf bag holder in the back. Do you think that thing is Oak Hill legal?
For Allen, I'd imagine that they'd make an exception even if it wasn't. I've heard that he's played a few rounds over there, and it's kind of his world, right? We're just all living it.
Matt, thanks very much. We'll see you out there tomorrow. Really appreciate your time, and go check out his work, Syracuse Post Standard. Thanks, Matt.
All right, boys. Take care.
You got it. Matt Perino covering the Bills and doing one hell of a job at St. John Fisher this year. Matt Perino, the Syracuse Post Standard, joining us here to talk some Buffalo Bills in the sports.
How did I not know that the Daboll offense was that complicated? Have you heard that before?
That it was complicated?
Yeah. Now it makes...
All I know is that Brian Daboll, prior to joining the Bills, wasn't a very accomplished offensive coordinator.
Correct. And you could always say, well, he did have Brady, the one. He wasn't a coordinator in New England, though, was he?
I think he was tight ends coach in New England.
Right, yeah.
The idea that you got a guy in Josh Allen that you were able to work with and get to understand what you're trying to accomplish, understand the terminology, understand how, you know, the complications of it. Now, hopefully, you have other guys in there. And I think that's a big, big plus having Barkley back in there. To hear Case Keenum come in and be like, I got to learn. I don't know. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a brand new system, pal. But he's got two guys that know it with both Allen and Barkley in the room. And I would imagine that Ken Dorsey isn't trying to overcomplicate things, given the relationship that he has with Josh Allen as well. Let's get to I'll Drink to That next in the sports bar. We have some takes on tap.
Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about the Bills playing on that opening Thursday night is that you get to watch everything. And we're still over a month away, Danger, but I want to spotlight this game. Your late afternoon game on week one, Kansas City, Arizona. Ooh. All right, we're all going to be watching that for fantasy purposes. I will pick that game. And, I'm sorry, bud. I feel real bad that I see an opportunity to make money off of your misery with the Chicago Bears.
Well, speaking of that, I know that Ryan Poles is the pride of Section 5. I have a suggestion based on some of the news out of Chicago today and what Poles can do to maybe, just maybe, sell the fan base on a glimmer of hope. And I teased it earlier. We'll be talking fantasy football with Kevin Payne from RotoWire next hour in the sports bar. I've got a couple of trends worth noting in terms of running backs in fantasy football. And the four names that make it through these filters that could help you win your league this year. I'll share that. Some takes next. I'll drink to that on the way here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.